in the studio with me from the Hanson Miller Law Offices. Roy Miller is here, and also John Givens is here. Gentlemen, welcome back.
Good morning, Pat.
Morning.
Nice to talk to you. First of all, the release of the CAL FIRE report on many of the fires in October, it came out late Friday. How does your job change with the release of that report and the report on the Tubbs Fire to come?
I don't think it really changes that much, given the fact that we have one of the top investigators in the world that works for us that has already conducted his work over the last several months. This basically confirms the things that we've already been able to gather. But what it does, I think, is that it, with the referral to the DA's office in each county, it confirms the scope of loss that we all suffered. And I hope it will affirm for everybody that this was not simply an act of God weather event. This was a man-made event. And it's something that needs to be accounted for going forward.
And I'm hoping you can educate me a bit, Roy and John, about the process moving forward. Because, you know, one of the things as I was wading through that report from CAL FIRE over the weekend is that it's very definitive and all of that. But what it doesn't talk about is what blame goes where or how much blame is assigned and that sort of thing. Is it the court system itself which tries to figure out, okay, PG&E, you're responsible for this lump of that disaster. The weather conditions can account for XYZ amount. Is that how it works once you get to the court level?
Actually, there's a very strict set of rules in California. We're a really highly regulated state, and there are very strict rules about how far away PG&E is supposed to trim or cut down trees away from their lines, and that includes weather events like we had that night. For the Tubbs Fire, the wind was between 30 and 41 miles an hour, which for PG&E lines that are designed for a minimum of 58 miles an hour is not a big deal. But when you have trees that are basically trimmed, say, in a V fashion with the line overhead, all it takes is one limb or one series of limbs hitting the line to bring it down. So once CAL FIRE determined that PG&E violated state law, in our view, it's game over in terms of liability. Now it's just a question of trying to help bring families like mine back to where we were before the fire destroyed everything. So they may try and shift blame on various factors. Unfortunately for PG&E, that's not something that's going to work given how our state law is structured.
Okay, and so do you think, Roy and John, will this ever get to see the inside of a courtroom, or will it be settled prior to that?
I think that for some of the cases involving people who lost their lives, they may be settled short of trial. I think for the vast majority of people who lost their homes, such as my family did, there will be a type of lottery system where a representative sample of cases will be drawn across all the fires. Those will go to trial because there's never been a fire case this big before. And the scope and scale is something that we need juries to determine what the appropriate level of compensation is for each type of damage.
So representative cases,
correct,
in other words. That makes sense. I mean, how could you possibly get through, you know, in our lifetimes, a court circumstance that would encompass each and every specific case?
You can't. And I think that PG&E understands that. And also, given the fact that they've stopped paying dividends, and they have these two massive law firms on either coast working for them, they understand that this needs to get resolved.
Yeah.
It's huge. Yeah. And I think they want to resolve it as well. But in terms of getting everybody's arms around the scope of this case, it's something that we're working on right now in the litigation.
May I ask how many clients you are representing at this stage of the game?
Well, our group in total, because we have a number of teams within our group, is somewhere around 1,800 clients, and my firm represents something north of 600 of those. And that process is ongoing because the statute of limitations is a couple of years. But I think a lot of people, understandably, were working on their insurance issues, as I've been, and trying to decide if they can rebuild, as I am. But now that they've heard about the CAL FIRE report and they understand how and why this happened, I think people are trying to explore information and options regarding the PG&E case.
Well, it must be difficult. I mean, the whole thing is difficult. Let's face it. And Roy, you know, because you lost your own home. First of all, I've heard the expression before called making people whole again. I really hate that expression because, you know, yes, there are things that can be replaced, but in terms of sort of replacement of everything that was pre-fire, I just don't think that's possible.
There's no way to replace the family heirlooms that we all lost, the memories that were contained. I unfortunately had moved most of my family's heirlooms up here to Santa Rosa weeks before the fire hit. And I had to tell my family that they were all lost. And those are things that, that money does not replace.
Right.
And a lot of our clients have said the same thing. You know, you can replace pots and pans and bedding and whatnot. You cannot replace that sense of security and that sense of family from the things that you've gathered over a lifetime. And that's just, it's hard. That's the hardest part of it.
And part of the compensation that the court system allows is to compensate people for the things they lost, which may be property, emotional distress, et cetera. There's also a doctrine in the law awarding punitive damages.
Yeah, this is the part I'm really curious about because other things can be measured. This is always the part of a court case that is subjective, isn't it?
It's subjective, but we have 80 years of history of PG&E burning down people's homes in the same manner going back to 1936. And once we prove our case against PG&E in court, in a trial situation, punitive damages can be assessed by a jury to punish PG&E for repeatedly doing the same series of actions over and over. The Butte Fire in 2015, the things that they did during the pipeline explosion in San Bruno in 2010. And there needs to be a change in the way these people do business to try and protect the people that they're supposed to be serving.
Yeah, in January of 2017, PG&E was convicted and put on federal felony probation because of San Bruno. So
yeah.
I mean, at the time, what they did that caused these fires and burned down Roy's house and thousands of other houses, they were a convicted felon.
And by the way, and again, you know, if you need to educate me, please feel free to do so, because this is an ongoing education for all of us. But for people who, you know, are going through this, you know, ongoing terrifying experience of trying to rebuild their homes and rebuild their lives, you know, what can you tell your clients now that you were not able to tell them prior to the CAL FIRE reports coming out?
We were very confident based upon our own investigation since October as to how things went down and what happened and who was to blame. But I know a lot of our clients wanted a peace of mind that a government-based investigation came to the same conclusions. So the way that this has been helpful is that it narrows down on each particular fire a particular thing that took place. We know trees went into power lines, but how did it happen? What was going on at the time? PG&E re-energizing that line near the Los Gallegos Juvenile Justice Center, which is something that equipment was taken out by San Diego after their fire. PG&E decided not to do that. Those little bits and pieces kind of give people some peace of mind as to, okay, now I know what happened, and now I know why it is that you all think that we need to pursue this, because a lot of people are, they don't like suing and they don't necessarily want to be involved with lawyers. And I get that. But at the same time, they want somebody held accountable for the fact that they, through no fault of their own, lost everything.
I think everybody who lives here or certainly lived here in October, you know, no matter to what degree we were affected by the fires, we all were affected. I think we all unanimously want to support as mightily as we can the folks who lost it all and who lost their homes, et cetera, through this entire process. Something that the county, by and large, is wondering at this point, as there are so many variables in play with PG&E, is, okay, I get your point, Roy and John, that you're making, you know, hitting a business in their pocketbook is sometimes the most effective way to make change. And I think it you're probably right about that, and that it's going to take for the rest of us to regain some sense of normalcy and not pay, you know, $300, $400 PG&E bills every month as they try to recoup some of this money, that it's important for that effort to be married with the effort of our legislators to make sure that that whatever monies are going to be rightfully handed over to the fire victims, you know, does not come out of our own specific pockets. You get what I'm saying?
I do. And San Diego Gas and Electric tried to raise their rates after their fire. And shortly before our fire broke out, the Utilities Commission said, no, you can't do that. Political change comes slowly in Sacramento. And PG&E is a powerful lobbyist, and they've already gone to Sacramento to try and give themselves some retroactive relief for the fires that they caused. And so this is you have to look at it as a political long game. You have to be patient, you have to be proactive, and you have to be in contact with your elected representatives to make sure that doesn't happen. PG&E will wind up compensating people, but what we also want to see is changes in Sacramento to ensure a change in how our grid is set up.
Yeah.
It's not hard. If you go to other countries, you don't see the grid set up the way that we do here. You don't see trees next to power lines. Let's do some common sense legislation just to make sure that that doesn't happen again.
I think we're all invested in that part. That is for sure. And so if you, I don't expect to nail you down to a date, gentlemen, but what are we looking for in terms of when this might be resolved for the fire survivors?
Well, we've set as a goal to have the first of those test trials done at the end of next summer. What we would like to see is to have this case resolved prior to the 3-year anniversary of the fire. So prior to the next presidential election, we would like to see everything resolved. And what we want to do is we want to see...
Okay, we've got about 30 seconds to wrap it up.
We want to see justice done. We want to see it done right. And we're in the middle of a very busy litigation, but I think we can get it done in that time. And I'm continuing to hold meetings at my office on Russell Avenue here in Santa Rosa to try and educate people and give them the options that they need.
Well, appreciate you being here. You know, you're becoming more and more of a viable voice in this whole thing as we move forward.
Thank you.
In support of fire victims, Roy Miller and John Gibbons, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you very much, Pat.